Thank you, Ian, for reading the scripture for us. As I get ready for the PowerPoints, I would like to draw your attention to the insert, which is Mission Express. It's about our brother Kyle and his ministry in Japan. Kyle has returned to Vancouver, and he will take a short break and then leave for Hawaii, where he will go to school and get further training. And so I will ask you to remember him in prayer. This morning we also pray for the VBS. As you know, VBS is going to take place in 2 weeks' time. We thank God that over almost 90 children, half of whom are non or outsiders. And we want to give thanks to God, and we just pray that they will hear the gospel through this ministry. And also, I ask you to pray for the gospel picnic that will take place this Saturday, and your parents may be part of the organizers. And so I ask you to pray that some 20 non-believers, non-Christians, will hear the gospel as well. Okay, so please join me in prayer, shall we? Almighty God, Eternal Father, we come into your house to praise you and to give thanks to you for who you are and what you have done for us, especially through Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, we come before you at your throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace so that we can deal with some of the issues in our lives. And so we ask you to hear our prayers. Lord, we remember the mission that you have given to this church. We thank you that the mission board is working diligently and faithfully to carry out your mission overseas especially. And we pray especially for our brother Kyle, who has worked for you, who has served you in Japan in the past 2 years. Thank you for giving him the opportunity, the training, and the privilege to serve you amongst Japanese young people and their families. Lord, we pray that the fruit that was born through the ministry will bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray, we praise you also for blessing Kyle, not only in Japan, but also in the Philippines, where he served for some time too. Lord, we just pray that his work over there will be remembered by you. And we thank you for providing for him spiritually, emotionally, and physically in the past 2 years. And he's enjoyed abundant blessings from you. Lord, he is back in Vancouver, taking a break to be reunited with his family, mom and dad, and his brother and sister-in-law. Lord, we just pray that this be a restful time, a time when he can get recharged, renewed, and recommissioned, so that in September, when he goes for further training, he will really clearly know how you are guiding him, how you want him to serve you further. Lord, we thank you for this brother. And Lord, we thank you for mission, not only overseas, but also locally. We are grateful that there will be an opportunity to spread the gospel this weekend, when so many non-believers take part in the gospel picnic. Lord, we thank you for the preparation that has been being made. And we just pray that all this will help our non-Christian friends to hear the gospel, will even come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless the organizers, and you will provide good weather, and you will really look after everyone. And we look forward to how you work amongst these people in this coming weekend. And also on this weekend, many of us will go to camp, some to the island and some to Whistler. And we pray that you will help the planners to get ready. May everything fall into place. And may these two camps will really help bring people closer to you, will really help people understand their relationship with you, and will help people to see how they can follow you. Oh God, let it not just be a camp of fun, but also be a camp of commitment, when people can be committed to you and be true Christian through and through. And Lord, we also pray for VBS. Thank you that we are able to hold this meaningful ministry yearly. And we thank you for Pastor Christina and her team. And more so, we thank you for Brother Timo for his leadership in the artwork. We pray that all the preparatory work will bring about good results, because you bless it. May these 40-some children, many of whom are non-Christians, will hear the gospel. Not only they, but also their family, their parents, will hear the gospel and will get converted through the working of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless this as VBS is drawing close, drawing near. And now as we open your word to Job chapter 35, we pray that your Spirit will help us understand this chapter. Your Spirit will illumine our minds and open our hearts and give us a teachable spirit and humility to receive your word, so that we can be a better Christian, not only today, but in the days ahead. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege indeed to bring you the Word of God. This morning we are studying Job chapter 35. Right off the bat, I want to state this, and that is, life is filled with suffering. Suffering is very much part of life, whether we like it or not. Some of you are still young, and you may not have encountered a lot of suffering yet, and you should give thanks to God for that. Give thanks to God for your parents for watching over you. But regardless, suffering is very much part of life. Some suffering is long, some is short. The pain that the suffering brings about may be very deep, or maybe just a little bit. When we encounter suffering, we often ask this question: why? Why me? How come it is me? We may not be able to find an answer to this question, but we must learn how to face suffering squarely, with the proper attitude, with the right method. And this is the content and the purpose of the book of Job. Job is written to help us deal with suffering and not to escape from it. Now, the main character, Job, suffered a great deal in his life. Not only did he lose all his children, he also was afflicted with painful sores from head to toe. And if you think about it, his suffering was indeed too severe, unthinkable. When Job was bewildered, when he was wondering how come he was thrusted into this kind of situation are three of his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to try to console him, try to counsel him. Unfortunately, they gave rebuke more than consolation. And as a result, Job suffered even more greatly. Then later on, there was another friend by the name of Elihu. He came to console Job too. His counseling seemed to be moderate, seemed to be more to the truth. Elihu appeared on the scene in chapter 32. He appeared that late because he was a respectful person. He deferred to his elderly. He led those three people who were older than he was to speak first. And here in chapter 32, verse 2 to 3, it states why Elihu finally spoke up. The Bible says Elihu, there should be no A, Elihu became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. He was also angry with the three friends because they had found no way to refute Job and yet had condemned him. Those three friends condemned Job because they thought Job had sinned, and as a result of that, Job suffered. But that was far from the truth. Elihu's speeches are recorded in chapters 32 to 37. In this morning's chapter 35, in verse 2, if you follow along in your Bible, Elihu rebuked Job for stating that he was even more righteous than God. And in verse 3, Elihu continued. He quoted what Job said. He said, Job said, "What profit is it to me, and what do I gain by not sinning?" What Job meant by that was, whether I sinned or not, it didn't really matter, because I am still in suffering. I'm still in a very miserable state. Actually, Job did not make this statement. It was Elihu who summarized the previous conversations that Job had with his three friends. And Elihu came to this statement, this summary statement. What profit is it to me, and what do I gain by sinning? Job was still very arrogant. He was still very proud. And so, in verses 5 to 8, Elihu reminded Job that God is the maker of heaven and earth. God is above all things. If Job sinned, his sin would not do a single iota damage to God. If Job thought that he was righteous, more righteous than God, his righteousness could not bring any profit to God either. In other words, God is above all. God is holy. God is even more righteous than Job. God cannot be affected by what Job did. And then Elihu pointed out one of the reasons why human suffered here on earth. And in verses 9 to 10, he said, "Men cry out under a load of oppression. They plead for relief from the arm of the powerful. But no one says, 'Where is God, my maker?'" Now what this means is, when people suffer, when people are under oppression, they cry out. They cry out not to God. They cry out simply because they couldn't stand the oppression anymore. They are just too stressed out, and so they cry out, but not to God. It's just like a scream for pain, a scream of pain. Human beings usually just focus on their trouble. They seldom look to God. They seldom see God. And so Elihu also pointed out in verses 12 to 13, even when people cry out to God, God would still not listen to them. Why? Because People are arrogant. People, when they cry out to God, they present to God their empty plea, their vain plea. So in that case, what kind of God do we believe in? Who is God in the midst of our sufferings? Well, Elihu points out in the second half of verse 10 and verse 11. Elihu says, God gives songs in the night. He teaches more to us than to the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the air. We are God's masterpiece of creation. We are more precious than the beasts and the birds. And so, when we are faced with suffering, God will teach us how to deal with sufferings. God would give us wisdom. God will tell us. And He would even make us, give us songs in the night. And what does that mean? God gives songs in the night. Well, just as in the night we see the sun, we see the light, and this symbolizes joy. It symbolizes things are good. Well, in a similar way, in the night, when it is dark, it symbolizes pain and sorrow. Darkness or night in the Bible is a symbol of suffering. Darkness or night in the Bible is a very important message. Remember that evening in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned against God, when man rebelled against God, the entire humanity fell into darkness without any depth. And there is no more dawn, there is no more morning, and darkness just enshrouds the entire humanity. Darkness or night symbolizes man are plunged into the darkness of sin. Man are still lingering in the suffering of darkness. Man are still suffering as a result of their ignorance. Darkness or night should be the time when people take a rest after a long day's work. And yet, because of their worries, because of their trouble, because of their fears, human beings cannot sleep well at night. They twist and turn. They are fearful because they don't know how to go on. There is that unspeakable, sadness. Tears just keep flowing, not outwardly, but inwardly. Even though they may be in the light, even though they may be living in the day, it seemed as if they were living in darkness. It seemed as if they were living in the night. Now, there are many dark nights, many kinds of dark nights. There is the night of sorrow. There is the night of oppression, the night of bewilderment, the night of anxiety, the night of suppression, the night of losing freedom, the night that is without any laughter. There are so many kinds of darkness. And when men cry out, when they pour out their hearts, can all these sorrows, can all these cries be turned into something like a song? I believe they can, because the Bible tells us today that God gives songs in the night. The unfortunate part is no one asks, where is God my maker? How come we don't seek after God? Now, when we are in the midst of darkness, in the midst of suffering, we should turn to God because He is our maker. He certainly will take care of those whom He made. And He would never stand idly by. He is not a hard-hearted God. God would look after us and be gracious to us. God would even help us so that in the depth of our night, in the depth of our suffering, He will turn tears into laughter. God is the spring of comfort. He is the source of consolation, solace. If we don't seek after God, we will never receive true comfort. And when we reflect on, when we meditate on God's creation, when we look around God's creation, we will burst into singing. This is my Father's world. I don't know if you have ever sung this song. This is one of my favorite hymns. This is my Father's world. It's a beautiful hymn. It sings about life. It sings about beauty, which only God can give. And when we encounter, when we experience Jesus Christ's salvation, when our sins are forgiven, we can really sing out that song of redemption joyfully. We sing praises to the Lord because God has been good to us. He even put our tears in His wineskin. God, let us see. After the rainstorm, there is always the rainbow. The rainbow is a promise of God's goodness, promise of God's grace. God can make us sing. He gives songs in the night. Now, the word song has many meanings, many wonderful meanings. Besides, singing, it can be translated as starry light. In the dark night, when the night is deep and dark, when there is light shining on people, it gives hope, it gives light. And the word can also be translated as watch. In the midst of suffering, when men seem to be helpless, when men seem not to know to turn anywhere, God is still watching over man, over us. God is still keeping watch because He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And the word song can also be translated into thunder. Just a few days ago, if you remember, there was a great thunderstorm over the lower mainland for quite a few hours. In the dark night, when everything seemed to be so dead, the thunder rouses up their feelings towards God. And we get excited about God. And also, the word song can be translated as strength. In the deep dark night, when we don't seem to have any help, God is our strength. Those who wait on the Lord will have their strength renewed. And darkness, song can also be translated as joy. Even though night is a symbol of pain, yet the song that God gives can make us joyful. It is the song of joy. And so what do we sing about? What is the content of our songs? Well, the content of our song is about yesterday grace. When we look back on God's caring, when we look back on God's taking care of us, even when we were in the midst of suffering, we could still sing. And the song can also be about the present blessings that God gives. God continues to shower upon us His blessings, and He continues to give us strength so that we can sing in the face of difficulties. And the song that we sing is not just about yesterday's grace. It's not just about today's blessings. It's also about tomorrow's hope. As we think about God, we remember that His anger lasts only a moment. You should remember this in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. God's anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. It is a wonderful blessing, wonderful promise that God has given to us. You remember Paul and Silas. The book of Acts, the laundry, has been studying the book of Acts in chapter 16, in the Sunday school. Here in chapter 16, Paul and Silas went to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel. And yet they were persecuted, they were whipped, and they were put into prison. And yet, in the midst of their suffering, they did not take on self-pity. They did not feel that they were suffering the most or the worst. They only thought about God's grace. They only thought about what God had done for them. And so, even in the middle of the night, they broke out praying. They broke out singing praises to the Lord. And that song in the night turned or captured everybody's attention. The prisoners were attracted by their praises. I mean by Paul's and Silas's praises. And in the end, a miracle happened, as you guys know. All the prison doors were flung open. And the prison guard was scared to death. And he asked Paul and Silas what he should do in order to receive salvation. The song in the night bring about that wonderful effect. Help people to come to know the Lord. And there is this song called the Song of the Nightingale, written by Robert Bridge. The content is about a dialogue between the poet and the nightingale. The poet asked the nightingale, "Oh, how come you can sing so beautifully? You must have come from a place of picturesque scenery. You must have come from a place full of sunshine." And the nightingale answered, "No. The place where we came from is dry and hilly. It's a weary land. It's full of dark clouds. It's full of thunderstorms. There is no moon. There is no star. The night is always dark. And yet, we feel that in that situation, we should sing. And the more we sing, the louder we sing. The more we sing, the joyful we get. We sing until daybreak. When the sun shines, breaks through the clouds. And when the birds, when other birds begin to sing, we will stop singing. This is why we are called nightingales." And sometimes I think anybody can sing in the day. When wealth keeps rolling in, anybody can praise the Lord. Because God gives to people abundantly. In the day, we can see the lyrics of the song, we can see the notes of the song clearly, and so we can sing. But when the dark night comes, when our spirit is in darkness, singing will become very challenging. We may not be able to sing anymore. And yet, this is a lesson for older people and for younger people to sing regardless. We should learn to sing even when our life is steeped in darkness. We can learn to sing so that we don't focus on the suffering. We don't focus on the unfavorable situation. We don't focus on the misery. We focus on God who gives us songs in the night. And there is this African-American jazz musician and a gospel singer by the name of Thomas Dorsey. Once he was taking part in a revival meeting in St. Louis, and his songs really touched many lives present in the meeting. And when he was singing, he received a telegraph from home telling him that his young wife just passed away. Now, at that time, the meeting was going very well. Everybody was so into the meeting. Everybody was touched and turned towards God. They even pleaded to Thomas Dorsey to sing one more song, but he couldn't. He just had to go home. And the moment he reached home, he entered the bedroom. He saw his wife's body lying still in bed. And before his wife died, his wife gave birth to a son. But unfortunately, on the same day, the son died too. The baby died. And Thomas Dorsey buried his wife and his son together in the same coffin. Now, this tragedy was just too much for Thomas Dorsey. He was really trounced. He was very discouraged. Where is God? He couldn't bear this pain, this suffering anymore. How could he keep on believing this God? How could he keep on trusting this God? He didn't sing anymore. He did not compose songs anymore. He became lonely. He lost his peace. Then one Saturday morning, he subconsciously went to the piano in the middle of his living room, and his fingers somehow, seemed to be uncontrollable, playing the keys, the ivory and the ebony. And suddenly, words and music oozed, urged, came up from his heart. And he wrote this wonderful song called "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Andrew. Now, you may not have sung it before, but I'm sure, your parents have sung it. I urge you to learn to sing it. Now that you know the background of this song, then you know the meaning more dearly. Huh? Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. What a beautiful melody. What beautiful lyrics. What a meaningful song. To Thomas Dorsey, that Saturday morning, he once again found his Lord. He once again was able to touch the resurrected Lord. And once again, the resurrected Lord was able to touch him, the very deep hurt that he was experiencing. He was healed. And since then, Thomas Dorsey would testify for the Lord. And he would say, just like that, I am willingly and joyfully living for the Lord. I am letting him take my hand till the day I see him in heaven. Isn't that great? I don't know, you know, what your situation is. Your situation may be very miserable. Your situation may be just, you know, momentary. And yet, precious Lord is always there, ready to take your hand, to lead you on. You know, it's very easy for us to sing songs when things are going well. We can sing about many beautiful things. We can sing about many beautiful situations when things do go well. And yet, if we are in the desert, when there's no more beautiful flowers, when the situation around us is so dreary, would I still be able to sing praises to the Lord? If I've got a good voice, if my health is very good, I definitely would sing praises to the Lord. But if my tongue is dry and I am lying down in bed because I am sick, would I still be able to sing that beautiful melody to the Lord? Unless God sends that song from heaven and fill our heart, none of us can really have that strength to sing praises to the Lord. The prophet Habakkuk sang this song, and that song came from the Lord. And let us read it together. It's in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Read and meditate and think about the meaning. Habakkuk did not sing it out of his own strength. He sang it because God gave it to him. Let us read it together. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be faithful in God my Savior. Now, many of you are still very young. You may not appreciate, you know, what I'm telling you this morning, but many of you are old enough to understand what I'm saying. Precious Lord is always there, through thick and thin, with us. God gives songs in the night. This is indeed the golden verse in the entire book of Job. Every one of us, whether we are in any status or any position, in authority, in power, or we are just nobody. Any of us, whether we are affluent, whether we are wealthy or poor, we would encounter nights, dark nights at that too. Yesterday, Auntie Eva and I just encountered a little dark night in our lives. We were involved in a car accident. And in the accident, my little Acura, I believe, was totaled. But we thank God. Auntie Eva and I are still in good shape. My shoulders are a bit tight because of the impact. And I guess another 2 days, I can tell whether, you know, I would have very stiff neck or shoulders. Or the same for Auntie Eva. But we thank God. We thank God that He kept us safe in that little accident. It's a little accident, and yet the impact was so great that my car could be totaled. I'm still waiting for the adjuster to tell me that bad news. And I thank God for the brothers and sisters who called me yesterday to ask about us. And this morning, or last night, a brother loaned me his car so that I could come to church and take part in the services this morning. Otherwise, you know, Pastor Andy or Pastor Enoch would have to step in. God is good. You know, we all may have some unhappy moments. We all have sickness, pains, very lousy mood. Situations are very unfavorable. Many people would just moan and groan. They would even blame this, blame that. They would say, oh, my life is just so miserable. They don't realize that God can give songs in the night. God can turn unfavorable situations, can turn deep dark nights into a song of praise. You know, if Christians praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord only when times are good, Christians are still immature, are still not grown-ups yet. Christians may still drink milk and not being able to eat solid food. Christians must recognize that the path that God leads is the path when He shows the most care, the most support in the deep of the night. God blesses us not just in good times, but more so in not so good times. In the life of a Christian, the most moving testimony is not about how good life is, about how much he enjoys, how much property, possessions he has. It's not about after a long sickness, he gets healed. Those are good. But the best testimony is when we face trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, etc., etc. When we are in those situations, we can still lift our heads high and praise the Lord. We can still lift our head high and recognize and acknowledge God. We can still lift our head high and follow Him willingly because He is able to lead us. The psalmist, Asaph, he wrote this in Psalm chapter 77, verse 6. He says, I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. Now this really enriches God gives songs in the night. They go hand in hand. Makes the meaning even more meaningful. Night is not just the time for us to sing, but those songs that we sing can really capture the spirit of being a Christian, can really capture the essence of Christianity. When we think about songs in the night, we will be able to renew, to have our strength renewed. And when we think about God's faithfulness and care in the past, when we look at God's grace and provision present, then we will have that faith. Then we will have that boldness, that courage to face future situations. We'll be able to go forward because God is there. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christianity is all about. It's not about just blessings. Blessings are not just in the form of good things. Blessings can come even in the dark of the night. What is your situation like today? If it is good, praise the Lord. If it is not so favorable, praise the Lord too. Because then you can see if your faith in God is true. Then you can see If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, let us sing this song again. This is the kind of God we believe in. This is the kind of God we trust. This is the kind of God we follow. Are you there? Following Him closely, step by step? Why are you in church this morning? Why are you calling yourself a Christian? Because things are good? Think about it, brothers and sisters, young and old, men and women. This is why we need God, because God gives songs in the night. Amen. So, Charles.